third hour, and we usually take time to talk about political issues, but always Fukushima to bring you up to date on the issues at hand. If you look on the right-hand side of Rents.com, you will find the Fukushima nuclear catastrophe section, and you can always go there for the latest information. And yes, it continues. Yes, it is getting worse. Yes, we are all being exposed in low-level doses, and yes, we are many of us going to end up with cancer in 10 years or less, and they'll never be able to pin it on Fukushima because of the plausible deniability of the time that has expired since the event and the onset of disease. However, in Japan, things are much different. People are dying of cancer there rapidly. Many have heart issues. They're dying of that. High school kids are dropping dead of heart attacks. So it's a bad scene. The Japanese government now is literally lifting the closed status of towns that are within 10 miles of the Fukushima Daiichi plant. Very close. These towns should not be habitable, but the government is trying to pretend again, don't look, don't tell, and just pretend like everything's okay. It's not okay. Those people are being sacrificed. We've talked about this for over 6 years now. So let's start out with Dana Durnford up in British Columbia. Hello, Dana. How are you doing?
Good, Jeff. Thank you. Hi, everyone.
The issues, here we are at springtime again. Temperatures up there, I assume, are like they are down here. I'm about, what am I, 10 hours away from you, something like that, from Vancouver, anyway. It's cold. It's like 10 degrees below normal, historic normal averages, and it's supposed to stay that way for the entire month of April. It was 29 degrees two nights ago here.
Yeah, we got normally we get in frost, say, in the end of April here. That's the last frost when people put their plants outdoors.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, it looks like it's doing really good right now. It doesn't look like we're going to get that kind of frost we were worried about every other year. So, yeah, it's a weird year. But, I mean, you know, this is going to be a weird year for everybody. This year, I think, that word. Yeah. Arbitrarily, but this year we haven't got 10 years, so we haven't got 5 years, but looks of it, or less at best. Everything is dying in mass. Everything that is large is emaciated and starving to death. And the death
like
of the
whales,
Pacific, the heating up.
Polar bears, the big seals, sea lions, no blubber, no food.
Right. Even the mammals on land are disappearing.
Now, that's another thing that we don't talk about very much, but you did mention, what was it they tried to say? I don't know if it was elk. I think it was elk. And they tried to say that they moved on to different land, or they migrated. No,
right,
they all
were talking about all
dead.
Animals were migrating towards Alaska or towards the north, where there's less food.
Yeah,
like
real
the
smart,
the moose and that
huh?
were eating just, you know, the buds off the trees.
Yeah.
And so they made this salacious claim that the animals couldn't find food, so they were going to move north, which is, you know.
It's the opposite of what they should be doing.
Yes, yeah, it's still there. The buds are still on the trees, so, which is what the moose and the deer and everything is eating that we were talking about. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, well, the big thing to me was in Southern California when they were observing seals and sea lions licking the rocks, for God's sakes, for food. And yet these people refuse to talk about radioactivity as being the cause of it. Just liars. They're all liars. Very
isn't
few.
Isn't that something? Isn't that? Like, this phenomenon really bugged me the last couple of weeks where people are just so heartless. I can't wrap my mind around. I still can't. Yeah. How can you be, like, so cold, man?
I don't know. I don't understand it. I really don't. There's a change in our species. It's as if we have become less human and less humane. I'm not talking about you people listening. You are special. I'm talking about the masses of sheep, the hive mentality. We do know, and we've talked about this forever, that the engineering, the social engineering of the masses is designed to make them less than human, less human than they were. Their lives are now shorter. Their nutrition is poor. They've got to eat this GMO food, which is going to kill a lot of them. And that's the truth. They're finding glyphosate in all kinds of food. And the biggest shocker was the story I ran about a month ago. Excuse me, Dan, I want to do this. This is important. You may have heard about it up there. I think I might have mentioned it here. The wheat has been talked about as being no longer palatable. So people are trying to get, you know, various kinds of wheat that is specially raised under perfect circumstances. And yet the big agribusiness wants to turn it all into GMO wheat. And you go to gluten-free menus. They're all over the place. It's not the gluten, according to the story I ran. It was a shocker. And it turns out that wheat farmers are actually, because wheat doesn't always ripen at the same time, some of it will still be green, some of it will be white and ready to harvest. Well, the green wheat mixed into the fields with the other wheat, according to the farmers, is harder on the combines that harvest the wheat. It's harder on the equipment. So what do most wheat farmers do? I couldn't believe it. They soak the wheat fields 1 to 2 weeks before harvest with Roundup, with glyphosate, to kill it all so it's nice and dry and all uniform when the combines go through, because when it's all dried out and dead, which is what they want when they harvest it, it doesn't hurt the machinery. They don't care about us. They put Roundup on the fields of wheat. They soak it in Roundup so all the wheat is uniformly dead at harvest, or ripe, however you want to use it.
Right, I read articles.
That's what's making us sick, the glyphosate.
And then 29,000 genes were inserted into wheat.
29,000?
Yeah.
29,000.
Right, yeah. Of genes into wheat and why you shouldn't, can't even eat wheat anymore. That was about
my God. I mean, I could see 29,000?
Yeah. Yeah, if you look it up, you should find it. I'm going off memory, right? It's been a while since I read it, because I used to cover that in some of my blogs.
Yeah.
I can't really remember the narrative anymore. I usually got a really strong narrative before I open my mouth, but not this time. But I do remember that, because you just rang my bell at that time.
Hold on.
Like, the whole industry, GMO, like, it's no longer if or maybe or could be or something like that. This is fact, folks, what right. Jeff is saying, and about the GMO. I mean, they've been proven now over and over and over. None of their promises have come true, and the complete opposite, and a nightmare for countries that are impoverished, that your seeds went from, say, $1 a kilogram to $35 a kilogram, for instance, and then the seeds didn't produce other seeds. You had to buy seeds each year.
Bankrupted
every country they touched. And then the golden rice was supposed to cure blindness, and they just flying and floored over that one. It didn't happen, never happened, it can't happen because of the current people in charge. And then you look at how, you know, all these crooked people come out of government and they get appointments to where they help these companies. And it's just like, as it all adds up, it's a nightmare. It's inconceivable. That movie, They Live, we actually live in that world when it comes to media, for sure. That's real. I mean, you're not paying these personalities $9 million, $12 million a year because they're genuine or concerned about the population at all. They're telling them to come out and sell whatever today's flavor is, and that's what they do. And it's so easy to prove it, yet, you know, how do you... It's changing because of the internet. People are slowly now shucking the mainstream 100%. If I go to mainstream, I end up like just totally out of control with anger when I go to their sites and see the lies, and I can't go back.
Understood. Here's one. The pool of wheat, and I haven't gotten the full story. It's a long paper. The pool of wheat, EST singletons, will be used in gene function studies focusing, and then it skips ahead, At that time, more than 29,000 rice cDNA clones from various tissue sources had been made. So 29,000 rice cDNA clones. I don't know. I imagine the same thing for wheat. That seems to be their standard that they operate from.
Yeah, I can't remember. I'll have to dig it up anyway. But Fukushima, man, is so bad at this stage. They gave up in Japan. They're just going to move everybody.
No, they're returning everybody, Dana. They're sending them back to these little towns that are 5 and 10 miles away.
That's the point I'm trying to make, though, before I stutter, was that, you know, if you don't want to support the government, say we're not going to support the people who moved away, volunteered to move away, who were supposed to be evacuated, fine. But why have the connotations that moving back, see? Why is always there? And you see this in all kinds of lectures from North America and pundits and think tanks coming out talking about Fukushima, talking about how to get the refugees to go back. It's always those words, those connotations to get them to go back. And they agree they're refugees. They agree that they had to move away, blah, 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 the majority of them.
Only 14%. Really, only 14% are going back to one town.
Right. And it's just so, like, why did they do that, though? Is it because they've been doing this right from within a couple of weeks of the accident? They started with that narrative. How do we get people to move back, right? When can people move back? They kept going that route, and that has never stopped now in 6 years. And I think that part is really interesting, because why would anybody use that terminology, right? You wouldn't. If you're an academic or a scientist or anybody that knows anything about nuclear, you would never suggest people go back. That's ludicrous. And they have people in charge of reconstruction in Japan. So Japan's scientists can't be trusted. Why would anybody want to trust these people again? You have to be pretty stupid and pretty gullible to trust the Japanese society. That's horrible. Right. The majority of Japanese people are nice people. And so just this handful in this industry, one industry, managed to spoil it for every other person in the country and every industry in the country. We can't trust any of them, because they won't hold certain aspects like that. I covered it today, like 100 headlines of thyroid and the ingesting and the hot particles and everything else right across the country. And it's really striking. Like Tokyo, everything north of Tokyo, including Tokyo, is destroyed. I'm talking numbers that are frightening, 1 million to 20 million becquerels per kilogram or per square meter. These numbers are the most frightening things imaginable. When 55 is an absolute frightening number on its own, it's an evacuation zone. So what is 20 million, you know? And this is like some spots in Tokyo, the rain was 29 million becquerels a liter. Like, what? You know?
How can that be? And when was this?
Right. This was right after the 16th of March, about 5 days after.
Yeah. It was just coming down. We used to get reports. We used to get YouTube videos from Japanese citizens, scientists who would go out with their Geiger counters and do really good work showing us what was going on. That's all stopped. They're gone.
It got taken over by Asby Brown and that. And these people are notorious lawyers. I flushed them out really good. They're manipulating, deceiving. Why is Americans in there taking over that part of the job in that country? Imagine if we have a nuclear accident in Canada or America, the Japanese come over and they're the ones we got to turn to. They're the ones who's going to tell us what's safe to drink and what's safe to live in.
Right.
Really?
Right.
Yeah, I know the Americans are going to put up with that stuff. Oh, yeah, no, you could move back in there. We're now. Bang, 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 bang. I can hear the Americans shooting at them now as they run away. Why are you shooting at us? Well, I mean, that's the difference, right?
Yeah.
Down there in that society, it's going to snap. They're going to snap at some point very soon. But right now, we, you know, this death of the Pacific Ocean, this is, so they're planning on a nuclear war, an Ebola outbreak or something to take over the media and take over the world and then turn it into an ultimate police state and watch everybody die and blame it on these false idols, these false
things. They have freeze-dried viral and bacterial agents on the shelf right now that they can take out. They're ethno-specific. They're genetic-specific. They can manufacture viruses to take out any kind of somebody with blue, make it specific for blue eyes, blonde hair, brown hair.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
They can do that. It's not a joke.
No, that's fact. And They were doing that during the Second World War. And there's something like 4,000 bio centers around America. And these are high-level bio, where they're making weaponized viruses and plagues.
Well, they'd be BSL-3 and 4 labs, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what? And, I mean, if any of these go down, it's like a nuclear reactor going down in your country. It's just asking for it. We're asking for it. And all of our energy, monetary, and industry, and all of our precious metals and everything is going into these maniacal, twisted, demented industries that right. are just meant to propagate mass injuries upon the planet and the ecosystem itself. And there's no one, the only people in control are all the public relations firms who are in control of their universities, institutions, or governments.
Uh-huh.
And this is frightening. And our media.
Media. That media doesn't serve us.
I sound hysterical when I say stuff like that, I know. But, I mean, this is the actual reality, and it still shocks me. I you know, when I say it to people, I feel like, you know, how can you possibly believe something like that? Because I can prove it, no problem at all, and it takes a little while. If you give me a few hours, I'll sit there and I'll prove it to anybody, and I do. But, I mean, my goodness, how? What planet is there a human species left on the planet besides just a small percentage of us? It seems like the rest of the population are not even acting like humans and don't care about their friends or their families.
Well, that's what I said earlier, that the human quality of humans seems to have been denigrated somehow. I don't know how they did it, but the species is walking around like it's empty. There's no soul in many people. I don't know what it is, but it's changed.
Yeah, well, if the media comes out and tells them to jump off a building, they all climb buildings and jump. That's how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you got idols like Spider-Man and then the Hulk, and these people are created from man-made radiation. But there is no evidence, no literature to show that nuclear waste can do this to animals or humans or anybody else. And all the literature shows the complete opposite of, like, SpongeBob characters. They're made from nuclear waste. But, I mean, Spider-Man is such an iconic, apparently, superhero. But it's still, how can you have something from nuclear waste be a superhero? And this is what they've done. They built this fantasy, and they just keep pumping it out with different actors and different attributes and everything else. And it's the same thing with the Hulk. And these become the idols of children going dressing like Spider-Man and the Hulk for Halloween and that. And they built a whole culture, and these kids and people turn into adults, and then they go to work in the industry. Imagine, and I know this happened to people where they want to become nuclear scientists, but when they get in there, they find out they got to lie about everything
right.
and that everybody's in on it. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, no, that's the way it works. You got to lie, right, when you get to, if you want a job. And then people have to go to work every day, hang their head, knowing they're a lawyer, and their families, oh, my God, my loved one's a nuclear scientist. And he's so smart and so clever and so bright and got so mm-hmm. much promise and everything mm-hmm. else. But then when he finally gets a job, all of that whittles away over a decade or more, and that person becomes just cemented in this fantasy world where they have to fake every moment of their life except when they're at work. When they're at work, they're surrounded by these ugly people, these ugly personalities,
right.
and that's the only spot where they feel comfortable. And then as they get older, it's easy for them to come out and manipulate and lie. But when you look at them, you see this emptiness, because when I look at my friends and family, they have a spark in their eye, right? You know, they have this life in their eye,
yeah.
and they get your attention when they talk to you. Like you're able to, okay, what is it they're going to say, right? And you're paying attention to everything. But when nuclear scientists or academics or nuclear journalists or pundits or puke machines from the institutions talk about nuclear, there's no spark at all. There's no conviction in the words that they say or carry. And it's such a droney way that they talk in. You can really understand they don't believe anything they're saying, or they don't have any kind of faith or convictions in themselves. And it's just like, you're looking at an empty person, but it's covered by this whoever is interviewing them, is flaunting over them.
An empty vessel.
Great.
What's that noise?
People,
sounds like a tsunami coming through your place.
Yeah.
Sounds like water.
That's you. Yeah. Or me?
Sounds like water.
That's your end?
No, I don't think so.
No, that might be over here.
Oh,
yeah, I might be in a very electronically rich area. I understand Todd tried to reach me.
There he is. And, yeah.
Sitting next to a bank, and for some reason they're blocking signals there, and finally got me here.
Oh, that's what it is. All right. It sounded like a big surge of water. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. I've been busy. I'm trying to, you know, because of, you know, Obama passed this thing called FATCA, which basically required massive costs for lawyers, accountants, review by the Treasury Department, going over all your records.
Right.
On a environmental business where I've been losing money for the last 4 years, you know. Not much money, but still losing. So the banks in Asia just shut down accounts of millions, small accounts of millions of Americans. Of course, they're not going to shut down something like P&G or McDonald's bank account. So the corporations, they have armies of lawyers and accountants to handle this. But your average American, let's say a retiree living abroad, wants to sell donuts, you know, in a little village where his wife may live. Well, he's just lost his bank account, right? You understand?
Yep.
So many Americans are just taking on the jaw everywhere, not just the United States. I think most people in the United States understand the kind of rules and regulations that I'm talking about. And surprisingly, you know, this far into the Trump administration, what surprises me, all those regulations are intact. You know, the U.S. Treasury, Commerce, no one is retracting all these terrible things that the Democrats did against small businesses in America, you know, basically destroying millions of them, you know. So, you know, it's been quite disappointing to see guys from Exxon and, you know, Goldman Sachs making out like bandits in the Trump administration, whereas the people who voted for him are still getting the raw deal, you know, the wrong end of the stick. So very, very disappointing. We're very disappointed with Trump's policy toward Japan of trying to extract billions of dollars for protection money, you know, yeah, against North Korea, and doing nothing about the real national security threat to the United States and Japan from Fukushima radioactivity. You know, we've got a pretty good, I think, a pretty good Department of Energy guy, you know, Rick Perry, who's, I think, can handle the issue with Japan.
Yes, yes.
He should be the first guy going, not, you know, the Secretary of State, not Treasury. Rick Perry, Department of Energy, should be the first guy going to Japan and said, look, we got everything on you guys. You screwed up Fukushima and lied to the American public, lied to the Canadians, lied to the Japanese and everyone else. I mean, I was expecting a little bit of a different policy rather than this phony, I call this phony war in Syria. Again, here, this was one in Yemen. Remember, Yemen came first? Obviously, this is a way to milk more money out of the Saudis, Kuwaitis, and Qataris. The same thing that Clinton, Hillary, and Obama were all doing, taking dirty money, oil money from the Arabs, jihadist money from the Arabs to protect jihadist interests.
Right.
This, I think, was not exactly what the American electorate was voting for.
But no, it's the opposite of what we voted for.
Angry at Hillary. Yeah, I mean, we're supposed to get out of there, stop the immigration of jihadists into the Western world, you know, so that there's not something like what 9/11 was supposed to be, you know, so there are no more terrorists, like what happened in Sweden. You don't need trucks driving through crowded places in major world capitals, right? I think that was the agenda, was real national security for people in America, for people in Europe and so on, Japan. But now we continue the phony wars, the extraction money, and true, the United States government needs the money, and true, Donald Trump promised that he would raise the military budget, but that didn't have to be done overnight. That could come over time, right? I mean, the allies can pay their fair share. But right now, the real issues of Fukushima and the problems of the, you know, rather lax immigration rules in which people who never qualified for citizenship or immigration, let's say 20 years ago,
right,
are flooding into the country, and people who could qualify from conflict zones are not being allowed in. Okay, I mean, let's see the other side. Those who deserve refugee status are not being allowed into America are not getting help. Or
and that goes right back to what I've been saying, that Dr. Patty Doyle brought up, that in South Africa, the 4 million whites are marked for extermination by the 40 million blacks. And yet they're not even mentioned by the Trump administration in terms of immigration or migration, nothing.
True.
And I don't care what color skin these people have, but they're literally marked for extermination.
Yeah. It's getting rough there, just like it was in Zimbabwe. The British did bring in people from Zimbabwe, but a lot of them did not qualify in England and Canada.
Right.
So there's still a lot of white farmers there taking the blow and trying to, it's like reverse racism sort of stuff going on. As we see in the United States, we're seeing a lot of reverse racism in the United States, right? White people targeted and the government and police department showing very little interest.
I don't know if
right. American citizens are supposed to be equal. A white person should get the same protection as a black person.
Exactly my point. Why can't the white people in South Africa be given the same kind of refugee status that these sub-Saharan black Africans are and the olive-skinned from the Middle East are getting? There's a great discrimination against white people. Again, it's a war on white race.
Yeah.
It's a war on Caucasians. Yeah. We're marked for extermination.
Strange notion of democracy, right? That notion of equality should go all the way around. All are equal or none are equal.
That's right. We should open the door to these whites from South Africa who want to get out to save their lives. This is a joke.
Yeah.
Bad joke.
Yeah, yeah. They go to Australia. Australia lets them in. New Zealand, a few. But again, they don't have an easy time over there. So, rough work. And the other thing is the big mining interest in coal mining, diamond mining. They don't want the whites to leave, right? They need to cover.
That's right.
Here again, we have, I hate to say it, people aligned with Israel and Zionism. They want to keep the whites captive there because it's sort of a human shield for the Jewish interest. It's disturbing. This is what's really disturbing about the world with that in Washington. And, we're making no progress on Fukushima this late into the Trump.
Oh, no, we're losing. It's getting worse.
We can at least let down the information barriers, release some of the data. Rick Perry could organize a review and publish.
That's
right.
There's
going to be a review of all radioactivity leakages, all toxic waste sites, like the one south of St. Louis. At least make a PR that we want to review. We want to know what's happened and get a clearer picture of what happened. Information comes first.
Exactly.
We got to ask. This should have happened like the day of the inauguration, no more than, let's say, the day of, Rick Perry's nomination process. So
that's right.
It's very, very disturbing that this has not happened yet. The phony wars, Pentagon wants his money. He's going to get his money. It's an imperial enterprise.
Well, right now, Donald Trump is being either controlled or he conned us the whole way, but the military-industrial complex is being fed like a chained junkyard dog. It's being fed.
Yeah.
$58 billion now. That's the increase that Trump is pumping in there. It's time to feed the beast. And what does the beast profit on? War. We almost came to war in Syria with that stupid, stupid missile attack the other day.
This whole thing of feeding the beast needs enemies, right? So conveniently, Syria is still there. But, if we look back in history, people should take a little break. I know there's a lot of anger among the alt-right, among the left, among, people who voted for about this bombing, this cruise missile strike in Syria. But, Donald Trump is basically doing the New York strategy, okay? New Yorkers don't fight war for principles. If you recall the Revolutionary War, George Washington tried to hold New York. Not a single New Yorker stood up with him. It's all people from Massachusetts. Washington would
turn them out. Oh, that's interesting.
And the New Yorkers waved the British flag because Britain was good for business. The British had the money, and George Washington was broke. Civil War, New York once again voted with the British and the Confederates, the cotton interest, because the money is in cotton. It wasn't in. Okay, so New York rioted against the draft, didn't want to support the Union Army. You look, if we push this up to more recent times, right before the first Gulf War, when Kuwait, Nicholas Brady delayed, he was the Treasury Secretary for George Herbert Walker Bush, okay? George W. Bush's father,
yeah,
who was president at the time. The Kuwait was invaded in August 1990. You had to invade by December, early December, to get the weather. The cold, dry, nice, sunny weather. Anyone's been down there, he's, you know, there's not much wind. It's beautiful weather. Perfect time for a firefight, okay? But he delayed it till January. Why? Because he went around to all the allies. He said, Saudi, Kuwaiti, your guys are going to pay us $40 billion. They ended up paying on book 37, but a lot more. The war cost total $60 billion on record. It cost a lot more for the allies.
Wow.
Then he went to Germany and said, you and the EU, Germans have got to kick in. Germans resist all. Japan balks the most. Japan says, oh, we don't support foreign wars. We can't pay for that. So what Nicholas Brady did, he said, you tell us how much you're going to get. So Ryotaro Hashimoto, Treasury Secretary, and the Prime Minister Kaifu then says, this is the best we can do, $9 billion. Nicholas Brady calls him up, okay? Calls up and says, what the hell do you mean, $9 billion? Are you talking dollars or yen? They didn't. Japanese didn't give an answer. What happened was that the next couple of days with the G7 treasurer's meeting, okay, the finance officials, retired Hashimoto walks into the Plaza Hotel. Nicholas Brady says, I'm upstairs in room so-and-so. Hashimoto says, okay. He comes up there. He walks in. Nicholas Brady says, what's that, yen or dollars? I don't really care, because what you should care, what I care about are these photos. This is a photo of you and the wife of the Chinese, mainland Chinese, communist China, trade minister, trade official in Washington, walking into a love hotel. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, we're talking something more like $16 billion. And if you don't do that, this is going to go out. Your government has been taking money from China. And that's the end. Yeah, that's the end of you guys. You're out for good. Hashimoto signed the pledge, walked out the door shaking. Mr. Tough Guy, you know, Japanese cowboy, walked out of there. Busted, broke the Japanese budget. And Japan actually paid more than, you know, they, on the books, it's $13 billion. So Donald Trump, that's, see, Nicholas Brady's a New Yorker. In New York, you know what the slogan is in the Big Apple, you know? Money talks and baloney walks. I mean, in New Jersey, where the Sopranos are, there's lots of baloney. In New York, you buy pastrami, okay? You got the difference between baloney and pastrami. In New York, they mean real money. You're going to pay top dollar. So that's
amazing.
What Donald Trump is doing now. He's selling Saudis, he's selling the, you know, Israelis, he's telling every, no, not the Israelis, he's protecting them, the Turks, everyone else. You want safety, he's telling Lebanese, you pay the Kuwaitis, Qatari. You want a deal, you know, you want your jihadists to get out of there alive, you pay it, okay? Otherwise, we're going to go in there and fumble them. We'll let the nerve gas stuff happen. Then the next thing, he moves against North Korea, he's telling the Japanese, Shinzo Abe looks really depressed because he's got to fork over billions and billions now to the Treasury, okay? So that's what that, it's a huge protection racket, and that's how you run an empire.
Right.
You know, you don't, in an empire, you don't have allies. You have tributary vassals who pay you for protection. The empire doesn't make goods. It doesn't do farming. The empire just raises armies and navies, right? Yeah? And then everyone else gets to pay for all that. So that's what's happening. Trump has, you know, I mean, I hate to say it. Was it Bannon who called Trump the great emperor or something like that?
Something like that.
Boy.
But Bannon is gone now. And
well, yeah, that's what, yeah, you called the guy the great emperor. He got the great emperor. Great emperor doesn't need the populist vote. He runs an empire, and he's going to get it through the money. Once he's got all the money from the rest of the world, squeeze them dry. He's got plenty of money distributed. He's reelected. Give it out to the bankers. Give it out to the companies. Get the vote. This is how it works. That's how empires work. And it's an imperial enterprise, and we're back to that once again. It's called unilateralism. Remember George Bush's unilateralism? It's called unilateralism.
Yeah.
Except You do multilateralism when it comes to paying the bills. So right now, top of the agenda is not Fukushima, radioactivity, killing people on the West Coast, destroying every species, destroying fishing grounds, destroying forests and fields and dairy farms. The issue is how to raise up, ratchet up this threat, to make the most of it from the Fifth Street, North Korea. And also the thing that they're telling you, the coincidence theory when Xi Jinping, president of China, was there, is that, oh, we can bomb, your borders too, North Korea and all that. But, you're going to have to make an extraordinary effort to do this in a peaceful way. Okay? So Xi Jinping sat down and said, we're going to buy Boeing. We're going to buy, build factories in America. Well, no, we're going to shell out the dough. Okay? When a little guy does it, it's robbery. When a mid-sized guy does it, it's burglary. Mid-sized guy does it, it's highway robbery. When Empire does it, it's called fair trade.
It's called business.
So it's called business as usual. If you're the big guy, the little guys will pay, or you just step on them. You let someone else step on them. Okay, you let some other little guy step on them. This is what's happening. Fukushima is delayed, folks, and I think this is going to be a deadly delay. So Trump joins Obama, he joins Obama and being one of those responsible for inaction, failure, absolute failure.
He hasn't, Yoshi,
the property of America.
He hasn't, to my knowledge, even said the word Fukushima in public. Yep. I don't remember him ever saying it any time. Since he started running.
Neither has Bernie Sanders.
No.
That's even more disturbing. He's never said anything. Never done anything. They're both in the vicinity of this Indian Point reactor. Okay?
Right.
They said nothing. In other words, the heck with the lives of American children. The heck with American agriculture and forestry. The heck with American fishing industry.
Exactly.
You know? They don't care. Those are smaller guys than the small guys they deal with. Those. What matters is the rich, the bankers,
right.
The government officials in Germany, Japan, France, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, who are going to fork over the money to the White House, to the Treasury. That's the only thing that matters. And if anyone's wondering why this guy Mnuchin from Goldman Sachs in there, only a banker can stiff you with a $1 billion bill. And not laugh in your face, right? They do it. They do it very courteously and said, that's a very reasonable son. We've done our best to give you a good deal.
It's true.
I mean, only a banker could
do
anything like this. Give us $1 billion and don't ask what you're paying for, because you're not paying for anything except hot air. Okay, and protection, the threat that Syria. And the other thing about these weapons of mass destruction, this is chemical weapons. What are the sources? Well, one is,
Hillary Clinton.
Benghazi.
Yes, that's right. Hillary Clinton okayed sarin gas from Benghazi.
Eastern Libya, the Egyptian border. Now, Egypt was a U.S. ally, so it didn't come from Houston. But after the Cold War, the U.S. State Department and CIA had to figure out, how can we help the economies of our new eastern neighbor cousins that left the Soviet Union and now our financial response? Sell weapons, sell nerve gas factories to Libya, okay? That's where it all came from. It's got an American fingerprint on it, and the Americans said, do this, and you've got the money, we'll arrange it to you and look the other way. That stuff went out from Benghazi into the hands of the Free Syrian Army and al-Nusra, and that's how some nerve gas got there, thanks to the U.S. State Department. And unfortunately, the man in charge will never be able to tell us, Chris Stevens, Ambassador Stevens. What was he? He was ambassador to Libya in Tripoli. What was he doing in Benghazi, okay, and being executed by Hillary's favorite militia? Why haven't they raised, why hasn't the Senate been talking about Benghazi again now that you got a Republican administration? That can open the book. That can tell the State Department, open all your records now. We have heard nothing. Benghazi has disappeared from the Trump lexicon. Then the other source of weapons were from our favorite pal, Kizer Khan. Remember Kizer Khan?
Kizer Khan.
Kizer Khan. Yeah, he's Captain Syed Khan. the Sunni militia,
Aizer Khan,
the Iraqi army, were Shiite, training a Sunni militia, which morphed, which became ISIS. Well, he was supposed to be guarding Bakuba Air Base, okay, a little south of there, south and east of there. Bakuba is where U.S. National Guard detachment.
Right.
Canisters and gas weapons that were provided to Saddam Hussein after Desert Storm, after the first Gulf War, after the okay. And Saddam was let loose. His old tanks were destroyed, replaced by newer tanks from Eastern Europe, okay, again, the Eastern European allies. And all the nerve gas was shipped in from Houston to necessary. So that gas, a lot of those arsenals were left open. That's why ISIS got so many weapons. It was unguarded.
Syria, right.
American-made nerve gas, okay? Made by the Conoco, Continental Oil Company. You know, they're based
Conoco.
Yeah, to produce the nerve. Conoco, yeah, they produce the nerve gas. It's printed right there on the bomb gas.
That's funny.
Amazing. They were so
proud
of their product. Yeah.
Dark humor.
Now, Storm, you know, remember, what was that, Schwarzkopf, Arnie Schwarzkopf, and how they sold those. So the war is launched in January, and in the second week, after about a week, 10 days, that's when the sandstorms begin. All the squabbling over the money, you see, over Japan's $16 billion contribution delayed the war for 5 to 6 weeks. In that time, during the sandstorm, that's when all the American troops were massacred. You know, the Iraqi Republican Guard basically walked up the bank and just opened fire into the gunfight. Remember the IEDs and all that? That's when America took the beating because they couldn't see anywhere. And
right.
All the optical systems couldn't work. You know, all the infrared optical night vision wasn't working because of the sandstorm.
No.
Did George H.W. Bush do the best for American soldiers and GIs, or did they lead them in slaughter for pieces of silver?
Of course he did. All about money. Dana wants to say something, Yoshi. Go ahead, Dana. It's a little confused here with the sound,
sure.
But go ahead.
I just wanted to make a point about Desert Storm, Kuwaiti, you know, the Highway of Death.
Yeah.
They never armed troops until they were just about ready to go to battle. They didn't do that because during the Vietnam War, at the end of it, the soldiers were fragging the commanders with grenades and killing them.
They learned their lesson, right?
Yeah. So the troops that went to war in Afghanistan and Iraq was the same kind of way, where they didn't give them weapons. And when they gave them the weapons, they had them firing them 5.5 million rounds a month. So it kept them busy, got rid of their frustration. Go ahead, Yoshi.
What are we waiting for? The Iraqis are digging in. They're pulling back, right? They're going into the Sunni triangle. Yeah, I mean, that's the next thing. You know, we could have won this darn war in a week. Yeah? They were all up front then.
Let me ask you another. I got to ask you another question. I may be wrong, but I think I've counted, and these weren't given a lot of publicity. Has Trump met with Shinzo Abe 3 times now, or is it twice?
Well, he's met with him once, and he's talked with him more than 3 times. But he was the first guy he called with a North Korean.
I think he's met with him at least twice. I think it was the second one.
Maybe someone.
So what's going on here between this? That would put him as
money,
the most.
Money.
Yeah. He's the most contacted foreign leader.
No progress on North Korea or China until you pay. You're going to pay for every inch, every millimeter of progress, billions. And Shinzo Abe, he doesn't have the money. He's sweating bullets. He doesn't have the money. You know, Japanese economy is going to tank. There's going to be trade sanctions against Japanese technology, Japanese cars. Japan's heading for a death spiral. But Trump's smart. He realized Japan is doomed anyway, you know? So he understands that much about Fukushima. This fan economy is doomed. So
never mind. They will. Nobody will talk about it. No, that's the part that just boggles my mind. You know, at least they could lie about it and mention it, but they don't even mention it with a lie.
You New York Times, a massive bureau in Tokyo and China.
Yeah.
Beijing.
Yeah.
Hong Kong. New York Times, do you hear anything about this in New York Times? Washington Post, Chicago Trip, they have huge bureaus there. They're not saying a peep about what's really going on here and what this big charade is about. That's why I call these are phony wars. They're, you know, the other thing is when the administration gets out there and says, we just received $20 billion from this and that for all this effort. Our allies are pitching in. Now it's time for the American taxpayer to thank them by digging into their own pockets to rebuild our military,
yeah.
Our proud military, our boys there who deserve the best weapons in the world. And we lost so many cruise missiles there in Syria. We need replacement costs. Yeah? And the F-35 is not as good, so we're going to order new line of fighters and more aircraft carriers.
That's right. $1.5 trillion wasted, pissed away on the F-35.
Yeah, so
and they gave a squadron of them to the Israelis, and the Israelis promptly went to work and changed much of the software and operating systems and made them into a reasonable plane.
Well, how far do the Israelis have to fly? Come on, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's ridiculous. Come
well,
on, they don't need good planes.
We're facing something very interesting now, Yoshi, and that's. I think Putin has had it. I think Putin is finished. I think the next time he canceled the open skies communication agreement that they had with the Americans, so that's all gone now. I think you're going to see planes shot down here very soon.
No, I don't think so. I think Putin is just basically getting rid of all entanglements, making a space between himself and the United States.
Well, he's certainly doing that.
We're not going to be the bad guys.
He's certainly doing that.
We're not going to be the bad guys. We're going to make a buffer zone here. We're not going to pay a penny.
Well, if Trump invades Syria with 150,000 troops.
Putin's dad was in Stalingrad, right?
Yeah.
We'll build our own military, but we're not going to pay General Dynamics, Lockheed, and Boeing. That's not our thing, you know? Okay?
Right.
The Japanese, they're not in that position. They've earned the hatred of their neighbors, so they need the U.S., but they haven't. Japan's a broke country.
All right, hold on, Yoshi. We've got 2 minutes here to go. Dana, what do you want to say? Anything in closing here?
Putin's dad was in Stalingrad.
Yeah.
He was military as you get, and so Putin grew up that same way. I call him Putin like a cartoon.
Right.
So he's very versed in misery. His whole existence is predicated upon misery, and so his whole leadership has been about misery. Nothing has changed, and he set the stage for a future of nothing but misery. And just like Japan, there's a good article, Japan's nuclear technology faces extinction. It's evaporating. And that pretty well tells the story of why you see the desperation coming out of Japan the way it is and why they're desperate to move people in. Because the final nail is about to go in that coffin, just like the death of the Pacific Ocean. Anyway, I got nothing to input there. Yoshi, good job, buddy. Good to hear you, my friend. Awesome. Thank you, Jeff. Hope you're feeling better.
Thank you, Dana.
Hugs for everybody.
Take care,
folks.
You take care.
Good luck here, Dan. Keep it up, man. Thank you.
Are you able to watch the headlines that I put up, Yoshi?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
it's kind of a sad eulogy for the populist movement.
And that's exactly well said. Perfect.
It's not too early for Sanders people to start considering third party and cooperation, as I've always argued. We need cooperation between and what is still maybe the Sanders movement versus the Obama and the Mnuchin, gang, the Wall Street gang, to focus back on Wall Street.
That's right.
America great again. I think Trump has no right to use the slogan anymore. I think appropriate the slogan, make America great for once. Okay?
I agree.
I think, and I think the Republican and Democrats should get their butts down and get rid of all the incumbents in Congress.
It's not going to happen. You're right. It's not going to happen. We continue to send back 96% 94% every time, every damn time. It's crazy.
I think they could be beat. They can beat these.
Well, they can, but will they? Yeah. That's the question. Will Americans get out there and do it?
Remember, U.S. lost how many? 150,000 soldiers in that war, brutal. Any veterans will tell you there's still a lot of them alive.
That's right. That's right. All right. All right.
The truce. Yeah.
All right, my friend. You take care.
It's politics, and it's time for hardball.
All right. Agreed. Thanks, Yoshi.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. Good night. All right. Well, phone system is not the best. Sometimes that happens. All right. That's Monday. And we'll be back with you tomorrow night, 21 hours from now. And lots to talk about. Tomorrow night, DV Kid, Terrible Tim, Joel Skousen. So we'll have a good time. If you can use that expression. Talk to you then.